Amen, amen. So I'm just going to bring myself on screen here. Hey, so good to have you with us this morning. I just want to just quickly before we get into the message this morning, I'm just going to share something with you some of the stuff that we've been doing this past few weeks. So like Sharon's already mentioned there, we've been involved with All May Prophesy on Tuesday nights. And last Tuesday night, you'll see at the top of the screen there, so far until last night, we had 88 views on Facebook and 35 people had watched it on YouTube. So praise God for that. We're actually beginning to actually reach and touch people and change lives. Then on Wednesday of last week, I'd been invited to speak on camera. You can see the mugshot there on the middle of the stage in Pakistan, sharing the gospel to a crowd of people in Pakistan. And so it was just an honor and a blessing to be there with John Javad and to minister in the nation of Pakistan. And so don't really know figures yet because it was live broadcast. So we're waiting for testimonies and that to come back. But it was a privilege to be there. And then on Saturday of last week, we got to minister in Hyderabad in India with Aruna from the House of Prayer there, Incense House of Prayer. And we just this morning had testimonies back from her that two ladies actually got healed from shoulder injuries and shoulder pain when we were there last Saturday. And so God is actually moving across the nations. Then on Friday, last Friday night, I was ministering online with Lagos, Nigeria. And, you know, this is all for the glory of God. But, you know, in YouTube alone, there's been over 200 views on that message already. There's been over 140 Facebook viewers already. So God is actually beginning to speak into the nations. And he said in Psalm 2, verse 8, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. And so that's something I'd asked about. So God's been opening doorways. And when doors open, we go and we minister before the Lord in these nations. And so then on yesterday, just yesterday alone, we were asked to speak in another area of India. So you can see in the top center there, the phone with my photograph on it as I'm ministering and speaking off a phone live in front of all these amazing, beautiful people in India. And these people were actually, when we asked for prayer, you can see in the second top left one there, the ladies and that with their hands on top of their head as I was praying and calling in the Spirit of the Lord to fall upon them. And so there's quite a crowd of people here, but we've had reports back, testimonies back, that the ladies, some of them who had been widows, left with hope again, and they left with joy. And four of the men that had come forward with leg issues and feet problems got healed and said that the pains had gone, you know. So, and there were a few other testimonies that came in as well. But you can see there that God is up to something in the nations. Amen. He is up to something good. And we are part of that message that he is using us to broadcast to the nations of the world. You know, so we're here this morning to talk about No Limits. So if you've got your phone with you this morning and you want to go online, I'm just going to do that now, that go online. And so you want to get online with us this morning and share. We're talking about No Limits this morning. And it says that, you know, death has got no hold on you. Do you hear that? Death has got no hold on you. The enemy's been defeated. Jesus defeated him at the cross. He took him down. He took the enemy down out of his rule and his reign, went down into his camp, and took back the keys of the kingdom. So he disarmed him and he disempowered him. So death has been defeated. We are victorious, folks. There is no limits in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There is no limits in the kingdom of God. Do you want to declare that now? There are no limits in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. You know, so we are in the process of actually talking about things that I want to just Who would have ever, of my age bracket, I'm talking about now, I'm not talking possibly about you, some of you are younger, but I'm talking about my age bracket. I remember the end of the USSR, the communist regime that had been there for 70 years, that was persecuting the Christians in the nation of Russia, and yet God turned that around, and that whole thing tumbled after 70 years of rule and darkness. And at the same time, the Berlin Wall, that dividing high wall between East and West Germany, came down. It was brought to the ground and opened the doorway back into those nations. So there are no limits. When God has something that he needs to do, man's plans and man's ways will not stop him from moving forward with his plans. Amen. So God is on the move. Even in this season, in this time, God is moving us and creating a new arising of the children of God, where we become valiant warriors and believe in our heart, with all of our heart, there are no limits with God. God's ways are powerful. His ways are higher than our ways. And so we go with him. We follow him. Where he leads, we will go. And so we just look at that today and we just say, that's why we're saying there is no limits with God. The limits are only in here and in us, because we humans sometimes don't like to get our comforts changed. We don't like to have to step out of a boat and get wet. We don't like to have to think, well, if I start walking on water, what if? And the what ifs stop us from stepping out and moving forward. But nonetheless, there are no limits with God. Amen. The limits are with us. So if we delimit ourselves and believe it, the same way that we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that through his death and resurrection, we can ask him to be our friend, our savior today, and he will come into our hearts. He will dwell inside of us, and we get eternal life because we believe upon the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you can believe for salvation, then why can't we today believe for the greater works? Why can't we as believers see God move in greater ways than we're already seeing? There is no limits in his kingdom, but we limit him because of our understanding, because of our thinking, and because our spirits that is in us, that gift from God, is not fully awakened yet. It's not fully revived yet. It's like the mustard seed that's planted in us, but it needs some water poured on it to get it to germinate, to get it to start poking out of the earth and growing up into the very people that God has called us to be. Do you know that you are called, that God has made a way for you, even though you don't realize it, but his ways are perfect and his ways are for you. And so this morning we take a look, first of all, and back in the Israeli nation's history, we see that right back when Moses was instructed to go back in before Pharaoh and ask Pharaoh, you've got to let my people go. And so there was this argy-bargy that went on for several of the plagues. And eventually the children of Israel were released. And then they ended up at the Red Sea with the Egyptian army hard on their heels, coming down to wipe them out, because God had hardened Pharaoh's heart. And so they're on this cliff edge, not sure what was going to happen. Would we be dead by the end of today, or will a miracle happen? And you know what? The miracle happened, because God told Moses to stretch out his staff over the waters of the Red Sea, and they parted and made a dry passageway through for the children of Israel to cross to the other side, to get their freedom and to walk into the things that God had planned for them. Then on the journey, this is God of no limits. We think, when the children of Israel were thinking, how are we going to survive? We got no bread, Moses. We got no bread, Aaron. What are you doing to us? Take us back to Egypt. We were better off there, even in slavery. But yet God had a plan and a purpose. They just weren't seeing it yet, because they were looking at God with limits, and God has no limits. So what does God do to prove who he is? He sends them manna and quail. It comes every morning, fresh every day. They waken up and it's on the ground waiting for them to go out and harvest it in. And it was enough for them. He provided for them and kept them, even in the journeys through the wilderness. and the walls of Jericho came down. When they got to Jericho, man, you looked at that impressive structure and you thought, oh, days, how are we going to ever conquer this? How are we ever going to see this double wall come down? But they followed the instructions of God, the blueprints, the plans of God, and they marched around 7 days, and on the seventh day, blew the trumpets, blew the shofars. They sounded a sound in the nation, and the walls came tumbling down, and they overtook that nation. Why? Because God is on their side. God is with his people. He never forsakes us, never leaves us. Then we take a quick look at Elijah. Elijah was this prophet who had gone up against Jezebel in the nation and actually had done some amazing things. But here he was. He had to get out, had to run. And he finds himself at the brook Cherith. And even there, in the place where he was in hiding, God provided for him and sent ravens to bring food to him. The water was there, but he needed the bread. So the ravens, the birds of the air, brought his food to him. God looked after him when he was there. Then Jesus arrives on the scene. Jesus is born, birth of the Virgin Mary, and he is awakened. And in his early days, he is traveling around in the whole of Galilee and around Jerusalem. And he is speaking and he is sharing stories, but he is seeing people healed. He is seeing lives changed and impacted because it was his ministry. It was his calling to awaken his people to the reality that the Messiah was alive. The Messiah had come. The Messiah was walking on the earth and was about to do great exploits and set in motion something that is still turning, still growing today. He had a plan. He had a goal and a purpose. His life was not just 3 years and then dead on the cross. No, he came out of that grave after 3 days and he rose victorious. And like I said earlier, he took back the keys of the kingdom. He took back what the enemy had owned. And he said, it's no longer yours because my kingdom is at hand. My kingdom is here now. I am establishing the kingdom of God here on earth that will roll into the generations that come after I'm gone. So God was on the move, even back there, that the Savior, our Savior, was on a mission to see change and to see something imparted that affected the very ground we walk on, that infected the people that we are because of his goodness and God's connection to say, there is now a way, the only way that you can come into relationship with the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. And his blood that was shed for us on Calvary has opened that doorway wide. The doorway that was closed is now open wide. And anyone can actually say, yes, I want this Jesus. Anyone can believe that Jesus, when you ask him to come and live inside your heart, that all of your past mistakes and sins get washed away. Why? Because of the blood of his son, Jesus, that was shed at Calvary, that way was made open by him through his death and resurrection on the cross. And I praise God for that today. I'm thankful for my salvation, and I'm sure you're doing the same right now. You've got your hand up and you're saying, bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all you have done for me and made a way for me. Amen. You know, and then, of course, we then move forward. Jesus, after his resurrection, he turns up again, and over a 40-day period, he's turning up several times to meet up with his disciples, the ones he spent years with training and equipping in preparation for his departure. And so he instructs them to go wait in the upper room, and they're waiting there, waiting for the power of the Lord to come, waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to descend upon them. And then in Acts 2, we read that it happened. The building shook. Fire was landing on their tongues, and they came forward and speaking in tongues, and that led them out onto the street under the power of the Holy Spirit. That manifestation awakened in them, led them out onto the streets, and 3,000 gave their lives to the Lord that day. 3,000 who'd come to Jerusalem from different nations, but yet they had an encounter that day with God that changed them. And then they would have gone back to their areas and taken that gospel message back with them. Amen. So power encounters led to a breaking forth of the gospel and the sending of the message. And then in Acts 3, we have that encounter with Peter and John, and they're actually heading to the temple to pray, but they spot this guy outside begging outside the gate. Beautiful. And this guy had been there for years, absolute years. And he's asking for alms. And Peter and John stop and say, "Hey, guy, we don't have." And they actually tell him, "Look at us." So he's got the attention of the guy. And he turns to them and he said, "We don't have silver. We don't have gold. But what we do have, we're going to give to you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up, walk." And this guy has this miraculous encounter, gets up on his feet and goes praising God in through the temple courtyards, because everybody knew who he was. They had seen him for years, and now they were seeing him in a totally transformed life. God had met with him. God had encountered him because of Peter and John and their ability to operate in the gifts and the belief that they had, that even though Jesus wasn't with them any longer, that same power that rose him from the dead was still in them, and they could do the miraculous works that Jesus had done by their own hands through the power that's in them. And then we move another couple of chapters and we're into Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. So that's Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. And it says that this is still Peter and John. And it said, this is them coming out after they'd been arrested. They'd been in prison. They were now out again. And they say, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bond servants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word with boldness. So again, there was another encounter. There was another baptismal power that came upon them because they were standing up for what they knew was truth, what they knew was truth, and weren't scared. And so they came out with even more boldness and more confidence. You know, and then in Acts chapter 8, you just skip over a couple of chapters, Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, this guy Saul turns up on the scene. Saul is so zealot. He's a zealous guy, and he thinks that these Christians are doing harm to the Jewish law and the Jewish traditions. And it says in verse 3, "But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison." So this Saul was doing what he thought in his eyes was good works, and was helping clearing up the rabble and the, you know, the no gooders in that land of Israel at that time. But in actual fact, he was coming against God. And then God says, "There are no limits in my kingdom, son. You think I can't get to you? You think I cannot encounter you? Watch." And so in the very next chapter, chapter 9 and verse 3 again, this Saul guy encounters, and it said, "And he was traveling. It happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, who you are persecuting.'" You know, so Saul got arrested because God had a different plan and a different direction for this guy to be changed, transformed. And after meeting Ananias, then his eyes got opened and he encountered the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And his name was changed from Saul, a hater of Christians, to Paul, a believer who radically impacted the known world then for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So there are no limits. You can't think today, well, I'm this guy, I'm this woman, and God cannot get me. You know, I don't want him. I don't know him. And he has a plan for your life. He will get you. There are no limits in his kingdom. He will pursue you, overtake you, and shake you until you bow the knee and say, "Yes, you will be my Lord. You will be my King. I say yes to you today, Jesus." And then in Acts 10, verse 40. Where are you, verse 40? Let's see this. This is another thing that leads us further down the pathway. And verse 40, here we go, back a page. "And God raised him up on the third day," this is Jesus, "and granted him to become visible not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach. He ordered, do you hear that word? He ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Do you hear that? That witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed. And because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. And then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse water for those who baptized, for who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did. Can he? And so the Paul and Peter's camp were a difference here. They thought the Jews were the only ones that would get the visitation from the Messiah. And yet that day, the light, the revelation came to them that it was the Gentiles as well, that the Spirit of the Lord says that you poured out on all flesh, not just on the select few. So it's all flesh. And I believe that when God breathed life into Adam and Eve back in the garden, that same spirit, that power, that manifestation of bringing to life something that's dead is coming on all the tribes, all the nations, all the peoples of the world. He said that they will all encounter the Lord before he returns. Amen. So I believe there's something in the DNA of man and woman that was planted there originally by God the Father in his creative design, so that when he moves, there's something in you that's already there in your system that gets awakened and revived and brought to life by the power of the cross of Jesus. You know, in Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2, you know, it says there that we're to actually be renewed by the transforming of our mind. Our biggest blocks come from inside here. We think too much about it. We think, oh, well, no, that's for Joe Bloggs. He's an evangelist. Let him go do that. You know, I'm happy. I'll turn up at church, God. I'll worship you. I'll sing holy songs. I will shake and I will quake under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But don't ask me to go and do the stuff. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ today? Did you give your life to him? Did you say yes to being washed in his blood? Well, then you're like the disciples that we just read here. He ordered them to go preach the gospel. Those of you that don't like order and those of you that don't like commands, well, I'm telling you what's written black and white, the words of Jesus. This is what he commanded. This is what he ordered. So you cannot escape the fact that you are now the son or daughter of the living God. You said yes. You are marked. You are branded. You have a power inside you that is bursting to get out. You know, that is in you. All of creation cries out to see the awakening of the sons of God who really know who they are in their God. That is you. That is me. That is why we speak these messages, to encourage you that there is greater days ahead. There is greater works ahead. You know, and in John, the book of John, John is an amazing chapter, like 14, 15, 16, 17. You get into those chapters, read them. They will start to saturate you and they'll come to life in you. Jesus was in God. God was in Jesus. Holy Spirit was in them. You know, so we see this whole picture forming of the triune God, but just not the triune God, because we said, yes, they are part of us. We are also part of all of them. There's this holy communion, holy gathering of the community of God, and it indwells us and we indwell him in every area. You know, so the three are connected, and we now look out for one another as well as we interconnect with each other because of God in us and the power of his mighty Holy Spirit. Amen. This is truth, folks. It's not some made up mystery. It is truth. It is reality. There are no limits when God invades your life and overwhelms you, overtakes you, and takes you on a journey with him. And then in John 17 and verse 22, it says, let's just turn to that quickly. John 17. These are interesting chapters, folks. You need to take a bit of time and go spend some time with them. And verse 22 says here, and the glory which you have given me, I have given to them. So this is Jesus talking here. He's saying, now the glory that you have given me, Father, I am now giving it to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. So the prayer of the Lord is that we would realize the oneness that we've got and the connection that we've got with the authority that's in the throne room, that we are also, as well as being here, we're seated as well with Christ in the heavenlies. You know, so you got this strange paradox going on, but it's part of God's plan, how he's going to outwork in this next season and take us on a greater journey with him. So verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. You know, so here you see this interconnection at work here, and we're empowered. We said yes to Jesus. We get empowered. We're meant to be burning with fire. We're meant to be alive. We're meant to be slaying demons and seeing the sick healed. We have a power source that was invested in us not to be kept safe, not to just take to church on a Sunday and go, oh, praise you, Lord, hallelujah. No, you are a warrior. You have been called for such a time as this. Awaken, folks. Awaken to who you are in your God. Why you're alive today? Because it is no accident. There are no accidents in God's kingdom. There is no limits, no accidents in the kingdom of God. God is in us. That's an unmistakable fact. Accept it, believe it, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There is greater works that Jesus promised us that we would see. And that's why there will be no limits. When God's moving, there aren't no doors he won't swing wide open. There aren't no keys that he can't give you so you can unlock to take us into another journey with him and to see the enemy's camp invaded, overtaken, overwhelmed by the goodness of a good God and people coming into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we cast off all restraints. Did you hear that? Have you done that yet? Have you cast all restraints off you? The negativity, the thoughts of fear, you know, the thoughts of not actually moving with God, get rid of them. Get them off. Get those hooks out of your back and start moving forward with the King of Kings. We place the limits on ourselves only to realize that our Father has given us it also that we may bring glory to his name. The glory always goes to the Lord. There is no glory for us. We get to see it. We get to be part of it. We're the ones that lay hands on the sick. But it's only to bring and to point towards the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we start thinking, well, it's about me, I've got the power. I've got the power in my hands. And when I see sick people healed, wow. You know, people are running to me because they want prayer. They want to get healed. Well, you're on a slippery slope. I'll tell you that, for that's a fact, because God will not share his glory with a man or a woman. It's always, always about him. It's always about his glory, pointing people to Jesus Christ. So we get to be part of it, which is an amazing privilege, but it's not about us. It's all about him. So I want to share with you about a man that turned up at our church one Sunday morning a few years back. And this man had come because a neighbor in his block of flats had been talking to him and said, oh, you know, I know these folks, they have a church and, you know, they see miracles happening, they see stuff happening. And this man had a gash on his leg that wasn't healing up. No matter what ointments he put on, what bandages he put on, it still remained an open wound. And so they keep telling him the stories, and they said, "Why didn't you come with us this morning? Come to church." He said, "Well, I've never been one that's known God or had any time for God. I've never needed him. But I'll come with you this morning, and I tell you what, if this God you talk about heals me today, I'll give my life to him." So he walks into church, and he comes over to me, and he said, "Are you the healer?" And I says, "No, not me, but I could introduce you to the one that heals." And so I ask him what's wrong. He shows us his leg, and he's got on this stick to keep him stable from toppling over because of the pain he was having and the lack of movement in his foot. And so I just bend down. I put my hands over his leg, and I say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command this wound to heal. I command skin to reform again. I command sensation to flow back in your foot, sir, in the power and through the blood of Jesus Christ." And I said, "Now take a walk." And he takes a walk, and he's walking with stick. And then all of a sudden he swings his stick behind his back, and he starts walking back towards us again. And he comes up, "Well, I never believed that would have happened." And I said, "You told me, sir, that when you walked in, that if this God you don't believe in healed you today, that you would give your life to him. Are you healed?" He said, "Well, I have tingling in my foot that I didn't have. I feel that this is all drying up." And he said, "So yes, I will go with my word, and I will give my life to Jesus Christ because he is healing me." So praise God. These are the testimonies that we find when people come to look for God in the place they know where he dwells, in his people, in a building. Not so much about the building, but it's the power and the presence of the corporate gathering of the body of Christ that actually comes together, that leaves no doubt in people's mind when they need him, when they need this God that we serve, they know where to come find him. So we want to be the lights that just show up. You know, we don't limit God. Don't get involved in the limiting God scenario, you know, because it's not a healthy one. You want to be in the unlimiting side that actually says there are no limits with this God I serve. Come see, come meet him, because he will radically transform your life, change you forever. There is no end to the more of God. Someone quoted the other day from the Voice of the Apostles in America that's just finishing, and someone said there is no end to the more of God, and there is more. And when you see more, there's always more, because God doesn't stop moving. He's got a plan, and he's got a purpose, and he is on the revival march of awakening us to be the giants in the land that no longer would look at Goliath and fear and back away. But no, we say, with a sling and a stone, I'm bringing you down because you're coming against my God, and you will not on my watch. So there's an awakening that happens in you when you're baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit, when you are filled to overflowing and your cup overflows. Well, then you've got the fire of God operating in your bones and coming out of you that will shake things, rock things, and tear things down that do not need to be in and around us in this season. I want to tell you a story about a lady that we met in London, and she had come, been brought by a friend to the meeting, and she had had two titanium rods put in either side of her spinal column because of the damage that was done. And 3 months later, she was still in agony. She was on morphine patches and was just out of her body in pain, racked with pain, but doped up by the morphine just to try and numb what she was having in her body happen to her. But you know what? She came to the meeting that night on a Saturday night. She had an encounter with the No Limits God. And No Limits God, when we laid hands on her and we commanded her spine to be whole, her spine to straighten, her spine to strengthen, and this power of the living God came upon this lady, and she began to shake. And without even asking her, you know, she started to bend right down, touch her toes. And she did it about 4 times, came up. God touched her. God healed her. God restored her. God either melted the actual metal in her body or made it pliable. I don't really care what he or how he did it. I seen it. I watched it. And I was the person that laid hands on this lady. And Sharon and us witnessed that. So God has no limits. Even metal rods in people's back will bend and come under the authority and the healing power of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. You know, we had a man's leg raw out in London. He had a built-up shoe. about 8 to 10 inches of a built-up shoe where he had been blown up and had bomb damage done on his leg. They had to repatch his bones back and shorten them to get him back up and moving and walking again. But the shrapnel had buried into his marrow. They told him at the hospital, there's no hope for you. If the shrapnel stays in, you're going to take cancer and die. If we take out the shrapnel and it's in your marrow, well, then that will infect your marrow and you're going to have cancer and die. So they told this guy, there's no hope. You just got to make the best of the life you've got and live it as well as you can, because you're not going to be here for much longer. Well, he came to the meeting. He met the No Limits God. And that night, as we sat him down in the seat and we lifted up his legs and rested them on the palms of our hand, I watched, I saw, as did many in that meeting that night, that his legs shuddered and jerked and grew out to become the same length as the good leg that he already had. That is the miraculous God that we serve. That is the No Limits God. That is who is calling you today to awaken inside of you that Spirit of the Living God. You are interconnected with the Father God. His power, his gift to you was the power of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Living God dwelling inside of you. Why? So we get in front of people, we lay hands on them, and we see them get well. We see things that you never thought your eyes would actually encounter. We see things that baffles the medical profession, and God knows we need the medical people. You know, when you have a car crash, you want an ambulance there. You want to get to hospital quickly. But there is things that God baffles them with, because he overtakes, he overcomes the stuff that they say, well, that's not going to happen. You know, you're going to die anyway, no matter what we do. And God comes in, meets a man in a meeting, grows his leg back out, gives him faith that he is involved now with a God who serves, a God who can overtake every disease, every sickness, and make him well. We had a lady come to the show, a lady called Emma. She had been a motorbike accident. She had all this damage done in her spine. She was waiting for to have rods put into her back. And so I think she was about 3 months away from her operation. She comes to us at the Healing Marquee and shares her story. And Sharon sits her down and her leg grows out. And we said, now take a little walk. So she takes a walk, she turns around, and she is smiling all across her face. Said, and we'd asked her before, what's your pain level? They said, well, it's virtually a 10. Zero being none, 10 being high. She said, I'm probably 9 to 10. So when she comes back with a smile on her face, Sharon asks her, so what's your level of pain? And she said, half. Sharon said, what? You're down to 5? No, I mean a half. Half of one. And so we get excited and we see, wow, let's pray again. So prayed again and again. This girl is bending over, touching her toes. Her husband standing upside. No, Emma, you're going to do yourself damage. Don't. And so, but she knew that something was vibrating through her body. The power of the living God was touching her and she was getting restored, healed. This is a woman that would lift her toothbrush in the morning, go to brush her teeth and seize and be in agony. You know, she had morphine patches. You name it. This woman was a wreck. 27 years of age, could hardly look after her children. God came. God met her. God restored her. God healed her, gave her back her life. That is who our No Limits God is. He is so good. We've had children that have been at church with us, and they describe how they're watching an angel dancing outside of the window during worship. And then she says to Sharon, the angel in the white shiny dress with all the diamonds on it, she just dropped one of the diamonds. So here we are, we're outside the building, me and her father, on our knees, where she had described it happened, searching for this diamond that we couldn't see, and we never found it. But the following Tuesday, so this was Sunday, so on the Tuesday morning, this child walks into her mom's room in the bedroom. Mom, you're never going to believe what's just happened. The angel came to me, said, here's the diamond that I dropped on Sunday. You have it. And so she opens up her hand and she shows mom and dad this diamond. And we have photographs of it. The angel came to the child and revealed to her and gave her a gift from God. Why? To encourage her that her God is bigger than anything else she sees. she got to meet the No Limits God, and he awarded her with a diamond to encourage her heart in Jesus' name. God, in Luke 18, verse 27, it says there, the things that are impossible with people, who are people? We're the people. But what things are impossible with people, impossible with man, it's possible with God. There is no limits, folks, on our God and his provision. You'll step into a greater partnership with God today if you say yes to him. If you don't know Jesus Christ today and you've been hearing these testimonies and these stories, well, you can meet Jesus Christ right now, right here, online. And so we just bless you and pray after me. Father, Heavenly Father, I accept you as my Savior today. I call you to be my God, and I surrender my life to you. I ask you, Father, to wash me clean of all my past stuff. I ask you, Lord, to encounter me today and take over my life. In your name, Jesus, amen. Simply done. But you have now encountered a king. You have now given your life over to a leader who will lead you and guide you. And so welcome to the family of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the one that you've been introduced to. I'll tell you now, he raises the dead through you. He raises the dead through me. He releases the oppressed. He heals sick people, brings provision to you when you most need it. He is faithful like no other. He makes the rough places that we come across in life smooth. He takes care of it. He brings refreshing water in a desert time in life when you're thirsty and you need him like no other time, and your body's crying out and you're crying out and say, oh God, help me. And he turns up with provision for you. He is a strong tower that you can run into and be safe. He is the rock that you can stand upon, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is no other way to come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. His way is the way of salvation. And so if you've prayed that prayer today, then you have stepped from one kingdom into the new kingdom of the Lord God Almighty. He will be a faithful friend to you, an empower of the weak to do mighty works for him. He comes to you today, and he comes to indwell you. He comes to revive your spirit that's in you and to baptize you with the power, with the authority of the Almighty God, so that you are armed, so that you're equipped, so that you're ready, so when we go out there, we actually see things happen. You may be sitting there thinking, well, I hear these wild stories, but I've never seen anything like that. Well, I pray for you right now that in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will step out of your comfort zone, that today your belief in your Father will rise to new heights, new levels, and that you will believe, as you believe that salvation worked for you, that you will believe also that the greater power, the greater works is now in you and upon you, and you are a kingdom warrior, a slave to Jesus Christ, and you are an ambassador of the King of Kings, so that you would encounter these things, and you would, your eyes and your hands, your physical body will experience and see the power of God at work through you to bring glory to the Father. Amen. There's no limits in God's world, only the limits that we put on him, and we should get rid of all limits today. We have all his way, and we are called by him to carry out his orders. You remember in that scripture earlier that we said that they were ordered to go preach the gospel. What's the gospel look like? Bringing revival into your hometown, bringing revival into your community, having people talk about the stories where Jesus in you has turned up, someone's got cured, someone's got healed, someone's got a life transformed out of drug abuse, they've walked into freedom, and people talk the good stories. That is the gospel of good news. And when those stories are released, people come. People hear, people want the good news, they want to come and find you, seek out your church, seek out what you're up to in this season, and find this Jesus that you have released in you because you've taken your blinkers off and you've said, there's no limits with my God. I'm with him 100%, all the way. And I want you today to arise into that same arena, to actually rise out of who you are, who you've been in the past. You've been Mr. Negative, Mr. Cynical, but you got to awaken yourself because you have that spirit of the living God inside you, a gift given to you by your Father for you to operate on his behalf. John speaks about the combining of us all in this packed together. But it also goes on, when you read on in that chapter 17, it reads about the link. It's not just, it goes into the whole words about the body. The arm cannot be without the neck. The head can't be without the feet. So if God is in us, for us, and we are interconnected together through Jesus Christ, then that's why Jesus put such an emphasis on love your brother. If you're part of the same body and you're tearing it apart, that's not a good place to be in. So stop it. Honor your brother. Love your brother. Don't try and step on him to get to where you want to go, because there's no fast way to get to where you are meant to be in God. He will not take you on a journey that means you crush others to get into a higher role or a higher place that you think more people will see you, because it's not about God, it's about you. So stop it. Get to the point where you're humble before the Lord, but that you know that you carry power, that you carry authority that's invested in you, because God's heart is to win thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions into his kingdom. And we are it, folks. We are the ones empowered to do the works of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to pray with you, you know, today. As I said to you, the last thing, do you hear the call of God in your heart today? Do you believe that God that dwells inside you, that God part, can be awakened, can be revived, can be so on fire, like we sang earlier, my soul would be on fire. You know, you want to be a person that's on fire for God. You want to get everything that's not of God, that's in you or around your life, burnt out of you, taken away from you. You submit your whole life to the Lord God Almighty. And if you have been living so long as a believing believer, but yet you've not really believed, well, then today you need to repent. You need to put that right with God and say, God, I hear what he's saying, and I repent of my unbelief. Thomas doubted, and yet he was able to see the imprints of the nail and the wound on Jesus' side. He transformed. But we've still today have got unbelief in us, and we need the unbelief out. So we believe more that we serve the no limits God, and that when we get in front of people that are severely ill, severely sick, dying of different diseases, that we approach it from the power that's in you is going to touch them. And we're just called to pray. We're called to lay hands on the sick and command them to get well. Not you pray a little wishy-washy, well, if it's your will, Father, that this person gets healed today, that we just get, we just pray in Jesus' name and we ask, have mercy on them, Lord. No, you attack that disease. You attack it with how Jesus did. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command cancer to die. I command you, cancer, to shrivel. I command you, cancer, to die in through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's who you are. It's in you. It's time to awaken it and allow it to come out, to allow it to express out there where we live, in the community, that you walk with a no-limits God and you walk under the power and the authority invested in you to change lives, impact lives, and to release people who are under demonic oppressions and see them get free, see them break out of addictions in Jesus' name. No more talking and let's do it. Let's do the works of Jesus Christ and let's see a world transformed. Let's see the stories awakening and the truth about Jesus Christ and his power setting us on an arena where the world comes to see us burn for Jesus. The world comes because they've heard testimonies of people getting radically transformed by Jesus Christ. That's who you are, folks. That's where we're going as church. You come join us. Come be part of us. We're not interested in just being in a building and sitting around doing nice little meetings. No, you want to come with us, get your armor on, get ready for battle, because we are stepping out under the no limits God to go reach the world. We're ordered to do it. So let's carry out the orders of the King. Let's stop pussyfooting around and letting the world drift past us into eternity. Let's go. Let's be the people that change that. Let's be from today a decision made. I'm following Jesus, and where I go, I carry Jesus. And everybody that I meet, even my shadow, like it says in the scriptures, will heal people as I walk past, because the presence of God around me radiates and touches people everywhere I go. That's who you are, folks. You are a glory carrier, a power-filled powerhouse. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the power and authority of Jesus Christ goes with you. Because when you step out to do the works that Jesus has asked us to do, well, man, all of heaven is dancing. All of heaven is shouting glory. Another one is breaking free and finding the truth in the message and are prepared to go out on the streets, go into the workplace and change the atmosphere where they live. Amen. So right now, I'm just going to pray for you. So put your hands up. You want to receive? You might be thinking, well, what's he talking about? He's on a screen. There is no limits to my God. When I'm praying, the power of my God will touch you even where you're sitting watching this broadcast this morning, or when you rewatch it, it's still there. It's on it. It's eternally marked with a no limits God. Amen. So I'm praying for you right now, and I say, Lord, come, fill them up. Fill them up to overflowing, Lord. Empower them to carry the gospel of good news fully as you intended. I pray for change to come upon you this morning. Change that marks you. Change that excites your heart. Change that sets you on fire. I pray for a change of mindset this morning that no longer thinks negative, no longer thinks I will cower away from this. And it says, my mindset's changed. And I'm saying, yes, yes, yes. Every day, every second, I'm with you, Father. Where you lead, I will follow. In Jesus' name, become excited in your God again. Let that joy of your first salvation encounter come upon you again in greater measure, greater appointment upon your life, so that you begin to operate and work as a son or daughter of the living God. So I pray for you also that you would say yes to being the fusing together of the Word and the Holy Spirit in your life, that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that's in you come together in unity and power and release that authority that's given to you by God into your bones, into your very soul, that you get set on fire, hungry and thirsty enough to desire to be the world changers that God has called you to be. And I pray and release that over you this morning, that you get to be, that you feel the power of God coming upon you right now. Holy Spirit, awaken, come with fire, come shake the very room that they're in right now, and let the power of God impact them. Let it change them. Let it overwhelm them. Let them be shaking onto that anointing. And when that whole negativity and stuff that's been hooking onto you for years gets broken off you this morning, and you begin to step into that arena where you first met Jesus, where he came with his power and authority, he took your burdens away, he washed you clean, and your heart felt light. And so I pray that over you this morning, that you step into that glory realm again, never to be the same, to be a glory carrier of the Lord God Almighty, to seek to raise his voice, to raise his name higher, so that all men get drawn onto him. Not just the ones and twos, but all men encounter the power of the living God. In Job 22 and verse 28, it says there, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. Do you believe that you carry the light of God in you today? Well, you do. You cannot hide it. You said your yes to Jesus. You bowed your knee. You gave a surrender of your life over to the Father. And for that very reason, he is pursuing your heart today to equip you and change you. So I decree over you today that you are changed, that you are encountered today by the blood of Jesus, that you are encountered today by the authority, by the power, and by the fire of God. And you will never be the same again. And you will see miracles, signs, and wonders happening before your eyes, happening with your hands laid on people. And you'll be excited because you will then have your own stories. I have stories now because I stepped out of that boat and I pursued believing that I had a no limits God. He's calling you today to accept the no limits God in your life and to run with him and see the change that's about to happen is going to be glorious. It's going to be great. Go on fire, folks. Go on fire, fire, fire in Jesus' name. I bless you all today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go have encounters with your Father. Go have encounters with people out there that don't know him, because they don't know any better, but you're going to show them a better way. You're going to show them the way, the only way to come into life and to have life eternal through an encounter with Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God. Amen. God bless you. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. God bless. Bye-bye.